Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Two Geeks and a Noob podcast, with your host, Super Beard Vince Hoover, and his co-host, Jason Q. Perez and Denise Jackson, a podcast for the indoctrinated nerd, the casual fan, and everyone in between. Now, on with the show.
Welcome, everybody, to a slightly delayed fifth episode of the Two Geeks and a Noob podcast. I am, as always, Super Beard Vince Hoover. To my left, or right, however you want to... You know what? He's over there. It's Q. Jason Q. Perez is over there. Down below is Denise, our resident noob. We had a delay for multiple reasons. Normally we record these on Wednesday nights, but one, there was a tropical storm. Two, there was a proverbial storm of awesomeness and badassery from the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes.
Turning Tampa Bay into Champa Bay.
Champa Bay once more.
Back-to-back wins for the Stanley Cup finalists. They also won at home, so that makes two championships won at home this year. And the Tampa Bay Rays are well on their way to the World Series once again, so fingers crossed we get three. So, that was why we are a little bit delayed, but this will be up tonight, and it'll be all good. Your daily or weekly fix, not daily. I mean, unless you watch it daily. That'd be fun. Do it. Also, don't forget to click, like, and subscribe. Hit your notifications on so every time we do post an episode, it is there for you to see. Your phone will let you know. And wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Here we go. Now, we are talking. That energy drink has hit me fast. I took my first sip on camera for you guys before we started, and I'm feeling it. By the way, guys, we have a new sponsor. It's Raise Energy. Raise Energy.
Where do you feel it?
I just feel, like, awake now. There's no heart racing. There's no, like, feeling. There's no jitteriness. And it's not like those other drinks with, like, the Crimson Bull or the, you know, the fictional creature drinks, which I won't name. But those make you jittery, they make you anxious, and they all taste like battery acid. This is has no sugar, yet it's very sweet, but in a good way. It's got low sodium, great energy. It's Raise Energy. So if you go to repssports.com, that's E. No, that's not E. It's REPPSSports.com. Use the coupon code SUPERBEARD, all one word. You get 15% off. They have energy drinks, tumblers, apparel, all kinds of sports stuff. They even have one called Hypersleep. You mix it in water, and it actually helps you sleep. So it's like an anti-energy drink. And I'll be testing those out here in the next couple days because I have insomnia, and it sucks. So...
That's interesting. I've never seen that in stores, though. Do you have to order it online?
You can order it online. It's also available at GNC, Vitamin Shop. It's at your it's at, like, fitness stores. Because, again, it's not a traditional. It's actually meant almost like a pre-workout kind of thing. It's very, very good for you. It also has amino acids, electrolytes, all kinds of good stuff in there for you.
Let's get LaCroix's sponsored.
Yeah, I don't drink TV static, so...
I love this stuff.
I know you do.
Anyway.
Loki episode 5. Now, I remember we had Vagabondage on here after episode 3, and she got really mad at me for using the term filler. And I have to formally apologize for that, because episode 3 was not filler. Now that I've seen episode 5, because episode 5 was indeed a filler episode throughout.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was a bad episode. It was a good episode. It's just the weakest of the five so far. It also, to me, like, there's about 8 to 10 minutes of that you could have put in episode 6, and the rest of it is just filler. It's literally filler. It's literally just... Now, granted, there's tons of Easter eggs. Tons of Easter eggs. The problem is some of those Easter eggs probably went over Denise's heads, having not read the comics.
I wrote down some of them, so I was paying attention.
So we'll keep that in mind. But there were tons of Easter eggs. Q and I were already kind of, like, geeking out over them. There are a lot of comic book-based Easter eggs that are not – they don't lead to anything. They're truly just nods to the fans.
Right. They're just nods to the fans, and some of them are hilarious.
Yeah, some of them are just awesome.
I guess as a noob, I would have to say this one's my most – favorite episode so far, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. It's my favorite.
All right, let's get into why.
I like, you know, it was fun to me. I didn't feel like it was a filler. I don't know. I just love the content so much, and I get so little of it. I have a hard time calling it a filler. But go ahead, Denise. What were you saying?
No, that was it. I just liked it better.
For me, really, as far as the story goes, the reason I call it filler, and this one is a legit filler episode, to the point where I think the director or the writer, one of the two of them, called it a filler episode. There's, like I said, there's only about 8 to 10 minutes that really pushes the actual story of this series moving forward. That being said, we got a lot of cool backstory on some of the other Lokis. We got, like I said, a ton of Easter eggs. We got great interactions between Mobius and Sylvie and Loki.
Yeah.
But
I like when he says, "You're my favorite."
Yeah, that was great. See that? I love that. I wrote that down, actually. But for me, my notes are 90% Easter egg. They're not story related. Now, I will say this. As we've been doing it over the last couple of weeks, we've come up with our own crazy theories. And unlike most places that take their theories and consider them gospel, we will preface them by saying that they're crazy. They're probably not going to happen, but they're a lot of fun.
A lot of fun to talk about.
I have one just like that. I have one. But this one actually ties into a theory I've had since episode one. So we'll get there in a minute. But first, there was a theory out there all over that... where Loki got pruned to was a place called Battle World. And this ties into a Secret Wars comic book. However, that was proven not to be true. And that was one of those theories that I never believed in. It turns out he's in the Void. The Void is an actual place in Marvel Comics. It's this place just before the end of time. It's a legitimate place in the comic book. So we're at the Void. And then when we get there, there's Eliath. This big cloud monster, which normally I'm very anti-cloud monster. Like Galactus in the second Fantastic Four film is just a cloud monster and it's horrible. Parallax in the Green Lantern movie, which is all kinds of awful in and of itself, is horrible. But this one actually makes sense. One, because the character in the comics is a cloud monster. Like that's who he is. I will say that when he very first showed up and the mouth came out of it, I got very like Aladdin Cave of Wonders feelings from it. Like that's just what like I just went in my head was I was like it's the tiger Cave of Wonders. That just went through my head. I had to pause because
Voldemort, the
death
coming out of the clouds of Voldemort.
But also like when later on in the episode where they're trying to enchant with it, like the arms of it, or I don't know if they were arms, but like the tentacles of it, they were very much like the Death Eaters flying through, like in
it could be like the mummy too.
Yeah. More like the mummy with Tom Cruise. That face in the sand. You remember with the female mummy? When she was going through the city, it looked more... I equate it more to that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I'm going to go out on a limb here. This is not what we're talking about, but Denise and I think are both probably the only two people in the world that actually like that movie. We like it a lot. It's a fun movie. I literally just watched it 2 nights ago. Because it's just fun. Tom Cruise is weird, but I love him. As an actor, not as a person. Let's make that clear. Okay. So we see the temporal limbo being that is Eilioth. So that creature very quickly answers the question, well, if every timeline goes here, how is it all just one planet? Because 99 times out of 100, the second you get pruned there, you get
eaten. Being consumed.
Yeah, you get eaten.
Yeah, that's why there's only really Lokis. And yeah, they did mention some barbarians and like some cannibals, so you know, it's like you gotta be, you know, as good as the Loki to survive there, otherwise you're getting consumed by Eliath. That simple.
Yeah.
Is it Eilioth or Eliath?
Eliath.
I've heard both.
Okay.
As they pronounce it on the show, it's Eliath.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went back and watched to make sure. It's like lion, but instead of an N, it's got a TH at the end and there's an A in front of it. So
yeah, I had to go look it up because I couldn't quite understand what they were saying, and I don't have the closed captions like you guys do.
Yeah, we straight up debated this on the Keek Show after show for 20 minutes, just the pronunciation. Now, oh, by the way, I'm glad I mentioned that. My brain will be so scattered today. Next week, we're doing Loki Episode 6. We have a very special guest joining us. The host of the Keek Show, Dimitri Pereira, will be joining us on to talk about the whole wrap-up of Loki as a series.
Oh,
that will be fun. That will be fun. Dimitri is awesome. He's a lot of fun.
Nice.
So again, we get a better knowledge of the Lokis. We got Kid Loki. We got Boastful Loki. We got Classic Loki. Denise, I want
Gator Loki.
And we had Gator Loki. Yes.
And we it was Gator Loki.
Yes. Let us confirm. Everybody's calling him Croaky or your Loki dial. It is not a crocodile. It is a gator.
No. Take it from Floridians.
Yes.
He's a gator.
We've all had plenty of experience with them. It is a gator. Short, round snout, not long, skinny scalp. Now, Denise, we got some backstory from them. What was your feelings about these characters as we got their backstory in that little sit-down?
I really like that it says with the gator Loki, well, I'm not the one that went and ate the wrong neighbor's cat. That was hilarious. And then you see how the gator Loki was a Loki and how he freaked out and jumped on him, and then that whole thing broke out. It was pretty funny.
Yep, and we got a Captain Hook moment.
Yeah.
So every trailer that showed President Loki, everybody thought that President Loki was our Loki. Which, by the way.
Look at that. Look at that.
It finally came in. I'm going to wear this week and next week because laundry works. We all thought that this was our series Loki, realizing he was trapped here and just taking over.
Can I just call him Loki Prime? Is that good with you guys?
I don't want to call him Loki Prime, and there's a reason behind that. Let's call him Series Loki, because he's based on this series. The reason I say I don't want to call him Loki Prime is because we'll get to that. There's a reason for not calling him that. But so it turns out President Loki was not. Oh, Denise, I lost your audio. Q, give me audio real quick.
You're still here. I'm good here.
Denise, okay. We lost you. Did you mute your audio on accident? We lost your audio. Can you hear us, by the way? Can you give me a hand wave if you can hear us? Okay.
Okay.
You figure out your audio. We're going to keep talking.
Okay.
So the President Loki we all thought was going to be Series Loki. It turns out to be a different Loki.
Just another Loki variant.
Which was great. I will say, and I do want Denise's take on that so she can figure out her audio problem. I will say, a lot of people are like, oh my god, that Loki fight was so awesome. To me, it was just weird.
It felt weird. Like,
I don't know, maybe it's because I have fight choreography, like, a background in that. That I was just like, meh. It felt very, I don't know. The angles kind of sucked. I did love that Series Loki was just like tiptoeing around and not actually getting involved. I did like that aspect of it.
You always know when you could tell a production, you know, spends money on choreography or they do what I call cheating. I saw a good example of that I felt was in Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight. A lot of his choreography and fighting looked real cheated, where it was like just, you know, up close zooms and then panning left and right. There's really not a whole lot of skill going on. It's just, you know, forcing, a look of, you know, a look that it's not, that the actors are not portraying really.
I get that. I get that. It just felt like most of the fight scenes.
It's messy.
It was messy, but it felt like it was shot from behind. Like we were never looking at somebody from the front. Like somehow the entire fight was from behind people's backs. I think that was my biggest issue with it. But hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick pause. I'm going to pause the recording. We're going to figure out Denise's audio problem, and we're going to come right back. And this will also be a great place for me to put my ad in for Anchor.fm. Okay, and we are back. Little technical difficulties, but we got it fixed, and here we are. Denise, say hi to everybody again.
Hello.
And she's back. Okay. Now, we talked about the Loki fight a little bit, but I want to go back to just a couple minutes prior to that, where Boastful Loki tells a whole lie about him killing Captain America and Iron Man and getting all 6 Infinity Stones, and the alligator calls, you know, bullshit. And then Kid Loki doesn't really give us his background there. He does mention before we go into thing that his Nexus event was killing Thor.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. I think that might have been that. If you remember in Thor Ragnarok when Thor tells the story about there was a time when he pretended to be a snake, and then he popped up and
stabbed. So you think that was the event?
Yeah, he popped up and stabbed me. Well, he stabbed him in the wrong place, and Thor bled out and died. That's the only thing we have to go off of, so I don't know. But, God, that is so good. Classic Loki gives us a lot of backstory on him.
Yeah.
He lived his life exactly the same as series Loki. Exactly the same as MCU Loki. But instead of dying at the hands of Thanos, he did what a lot of people have theorized has happened and used a projection. And then he escaped as a piece of debris, where he disguised himself as a piece of debris and floated out into space till he found an isolated planet and just stayed low. The TVA didn't find him until he tried to go back and find Thor again. Now, here's the thing about that theory, and I want to put this to bed right now. The MCU Loki is not as powerful as a sorcerer as classic Loki. The key to that is that when he talks about knives, he never used knives because it deadened his sorcery.
Yeah.
The MCU Loki was a fighter. He fought alongside his brother Thor and used knives and physical attacks and didn't use his sorcery as much. So I do not believe that MCU Loki was strong enough to have a projection that would trick Thanos. But when you have classic Loki, who is so strong that he can build an entire Asgard.
Yeah.
That one is strong enough to do it.
Yeah. And he did not display any skills of hand-to-hand combat.
Exactly. He fought purely with sorcery. But Denise, what did you think of Richard E. Grant as classic Loki?
Seems like he would be the wise Loki.
But there was
like someone you would want to sit around a campfire with and listen to his stories.
But there was a lot of despair there too. There was a lot of like, almost like giving up in him.
He did.
But there was a lot of growth.
I think that meant a lot to our Loki when he heard that part of it.
Yeah. He had that line, "We are the god of outcast."
Right.
And I thought that was impactful. You saw it hit series Loki like, ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want that knife thing because that's what kid Loki gives him then. Mm. It's a knife, so.
He doesn't give him just a knife, not just any knife. I forgot to write the name of it down. It is actually it is Loki's actual sword from Norse mythology. The flaming sword of something. I cannot remember the name of it. You look it up.
I have it here.
But that was actually kind of important. But that also jumping, and that's the thing with this series, it's hard to stay on track. But let's jump to the end when he goes to, so series Loki is trying to distract Alolith. They're trying to distract him so that Sylvie can enchant him. Aeolith, the cloud.
Oh, Eliath.
Eliath, thank you. See, I can't even remember how it's said. Eliath. Like Goliath, but just with no G. Okay.
Right.
Eliath, she's trying to. So he pulls the sword out and he goes full flame on with it, tries to distract him, and it's doing nothing. He's just like, oh, classic Loki's right. I'm deadening myself with a weapon. So he puts it away. So he puts it away and goes full on, like, no, I'm going to go help her. And then, of course, classic Loki comes in and gives it an even bigger distraction.
Right.
What I thought it was awesome watching Eliath trying to eat the projection Asgard. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was an easy.
But then classic Loki, like I said, full arc. He was like, no, we're going to stay here in the void. They had a chance to leave. Mobius, we haven't talked about yet, which we will get to. Uh-huh. They had a chance to leave. He had a temp pad. He was going back to TVA to, quote, burn it to the ground.
Burn it down.
Yeah.
They would have loved to have been part of that, I imagine.
But they were so set, like, no, we're not meant to be anywhere. This is our home. But then, like, classic Loki has that moment, like, no, I'm going to sacrifice myself to help them. And he has, like, an Obi-Wan moment where he, like, literally lets his sorcery go and accepts being eaten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is
where that was really powerful.
It was. Now, let me kill that. Let me kill that right here. Here's my theory. Crazy theory. What if, as I have said from episode one, that classic Loki is the one behind the TVA? And that the one that died by getting eaten was nothing more than a projection.
Oh.
Because if you look, when the cloud opens up after they enchant Eliath, and you see the castle that they're going to be going to, there's some floating debris floating away from it, but there's one piece floating towards it.
What? Wow.
Classic Loki hid himself as a piece of debris as he floated through space. He set that precedent in their little hole.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
foreshadowing.
Now, the reason I said let's not call him Loki Prime is because the other theory is that it's not Kang, even though there were a couple more Easter eggs for Kang this time.
Yeah, but that
it's
could
not
be
Kang. It is Loki Prime. It is the prime version of Loki that is the one behind it all, trying to control everything. And so that's Loki Prime. Because in this version of the multiverse, variants come, they're like branches. So there has to be one, there has to be a seed. There has to be one that starts it all, so a prime version. Many believe that it's Loki Prime who will end up being the one to call it, the one left behind. The one left behind is a character that was actually one of the timekeepers but got left behind because he didn't fit in line with what they were doing. So he was technically the fourth timekeeper. But my thought is that the one left behind is classic Loki. Because why do you bring on an actor of the caliber of Richard E. Grant for what is essentially one episode?
Because Disney has the cha-ching to do so.
That is true. That is true. However, I feel like if you're going to bring them on as a one episode cameo, you don't announce them prior. You don't put a lot of hype behind this person being on the show.
Yeah.
So the fact that they put a lot of hype on Richard E. Grant joining the cast, it feels more important than just this one episode. And I'm probably really wrong. I'm probably so far off with this. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Now that I've thrown that out there, this is actually a great question for Denise. As you've watched this series, and if that was, let's say that did happen. Let's say that classic Loki ended up being the one behind it all. Would that make sense to you? Or would you prefer to see some character you have no idea who it is? And they try to shove their origin into one episode.
I'm still sticking behind that there's another Mobius and he might be behind it.
That's also a possibility.
Yeah.
I will say this too. If you look at the credits, there's been one human face that keeps coming up in the credits sizzle reel that's not somebody we've seen. And I forgot the guy's name, but he's the guy who created the TVA in the comics, but also all the people in the TVA, which are all forms of Mobius in the comic book, they're drawn to look exactly like him. And this guy's face keeps coming up in these credits. So it very well could be Mobius. It would kind of explain his cavalier attitude a bit, too. I did think that his cavalier attitude was, like, maybe Mobius is a Loki variant.
Wow, that would be cool.
Right.
Yeah, maybe he's a Loki variant. Maybe that's why he has it. That's why he's so, like, almost anti-authority.
Right.
But he does get the job done, but he does it by breaking the rules.
The thing is that they still have not explained why when he went to...
Renslayer.
Yeah, I keep wanting to mix that up. Yeah. Well, when he put down his glass, there was two rings.
Mm-hmm.
So they still have not even described that yet. They haven't went into that
at all. It's almost like a hung. I forgot what the word I was looking for, but
yeah.
It's something you tease the audience to, you know, so they'll you'll show them later. What the hell is the word?
Right.
Well, the thing is, they did kind of address it. There's a way that they've addressed it in a way that they can get away with it by showing that Loki is a variant or Mobius and everybody in the TVA is a variant. A previous version of Mobius could have been the one that did it until he figured out he was a variant. He got pruned. And they brought in a new version to take his place because he is the best agent at what he does. So he doesn't remember doing the rings because it was another version of him. Or they just wiped his memory again. Because obviously everybody in the TVA gets their memories wiped.
Mm-hmm.
Or locked away. Not actually wiped, but locked away. So maybe when he realized that something was afoot, they locked his memories away again before he got too deep into it, thus him not remembering.
Foreshadowing.
But, yeah, like the whole, there was so much emphasis on that pin, the Franklin D. Roosevelt High School pin.
Yeah.
And the fact that
grabbed it again.
Everything that Mobius does is based around the 90s. The Josta drink, which was from 94 to 99. The Jet Ski magazine from the 90s. The way he kind of dresses like a 90s history professor. He could have easily been a teacher of history at Franklin D. Roosevelt High School. And his Nexus event could have been obviously anything. He could have been the one that was late to work. Or it could have been that he decided to teach something he wasn't supposed to teach. Or it could have been that he stepped on a cockroach when he wasn't supposed to. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, because it turns out the TVA is trivial at best.
Yeah.
But I believe that, you know, he could have been like a teacher or something at that high school in the 90s. But he still could have been the TVA for thousands upon thousands of years because they stand outside of time.
Right, yeah.
They can grab anybody from anytime they want. So he could have been picked up from the 90s 10,000 years ago. Because time travel's weird.
Yeah.
So Journey into Mystery.
Yeah, so the very first Easter egg comes from the title of the episode. The title of the episode called The Journey into Mystery, and that is the name of the magazine that both Thor and Loki debuted in before Thor got his own series. It was called Journey into Mystery.
And it was published by Atlas Comics.
Yep. Atlas before Timely, before Marvel. Just before. So
the Golden Age.
Yes. You guys really are nerds.
Yes.
Yeah. So this episode, if nothing more, is an Easter egg dump for the fans.
Yeah.
It is big Easter egg dumps for people who are fans of the MCU but don't read the comics. It's an even bigger Easter egg dump for the comic book nerds. So starting with Denise, let's go over your Easter eggs that you found that you thought were interesting. And if you could bring your... By the way, can you bring your camera down just a little bit? Because I'm... Perfect. Awesome. Hey. Thank you.
So I watched it with my son, and there was like a head. It looked like Ant-Man, he thought, a big head to the left.
That was actually Yellow Jacket. That was the villain from Ant-1. But he never got giant, so whatever reality he was pruned from was a reality where he had advanced his technology to go big, like Ant-Man does.
Yeah.
So that was one. Go ahead.
Thanos helicopter.
Yeah. Oh my god, yes. The Easter egg has launched 1,000 memes. Okay.
It launched memes. Please do tell.
Okay, they're back in the 60s and 70s, comics were very much, they weren't PG-13 really. They were still kind of tame, but they were still garnered towards older teens and adults. Trying to catch in on the little kid market, they created a bunch of Spidey comics that were written and specifically meant for like 10 and under. Like they were very simple, very quirky, very...
A little bit more playful, a little bit more campy.
Corny. Let's call them what they were. Now, one of the most famous ones is Thanos tries to get the Cosmic Cube. Now, the Cosmic Cube is the Tesseract. However, in the comics at the time, it wasn't called that. It was called the Cosmic Cube. So Thanos shows up in his Thanos copter, which is just a yellow copter with the word Thanos on the back of it. Because nothing says subtle like a bright yellow copter with your name on it. And he shows up and he's trying to get the Tesseract or the Cosmic Cube from Spider-Man, a character named Hellcat who was in the Jessica Jones series. Yeah. And some kid named Skippy or something who has ice cream. And the kid is the one who beats him.
What?
Yeah,
and I'm talking to kids like 8 years old. Nope, and apparently the Tesseract is built of Butterfingers because nobody can keep a hold of that thing in that comic. It's like, I've got it! Oh, crap. No, I've got it! Ah, crap. I've got it! Ah, crap. Like, everybody's dropping that thing left and right. So at the end of that comic, Thanos gets arrested by regular police. Handcuffed and put in what? And by the way, the cop car they drew was a yellow taxi cab. It wasn't even a cop car. But that, so back when Infinity War first came out, it started, people started like cosplaying as Thanos in like these big elaborate costumes. They're like 8 feet tall, but they were having cops arrest them and put them in cars to take wow. pictures. So it's been a big joke for a long time. And I got to give Kevin Feige and Marvel Studios and the writers and director a whole lot of credit to be like, look at what we did.
That was, I have that to give them so much credit. Fun.
That was so great. So Thanos copter. Yes. Other Easter eggs you found, Denise?
Well, there was a pyramid and it looked like, why was that there? And okay. a Sphinx head.
Yep, the Sphinx. Now the Sphinx had its nose.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
It did have its nose. Now here's the thing. This could be a Kang reference because Kang, when he was Ramon Tut, turned his spaceship into the Sphinx, and that's how he hid in Egypt, in ancient Egypt.
Widely accepted.
That kind of reminds me of
Stargate.
Stargate, yeah.
I got a lot. Yeah, I saw a lot of Stargate.
That's a widely accepted theory that those that those are indeed spaceships.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you've watched even one episode of Ancient Aliens, it comes up. Even if they're not talking about Egypt, somehow it comes up. Yeah. So yes,
that's cool.
What other?
The other one was the license plate. I guess that was like a nod to somebody on the team. Mm. It was like Green World One or something.
It was Greenwald Greenwald. That's his name. That's that's the guy who created the TVA in the comics.
Oh, okay. So that's what that was. I remember that.
Okay, so
see what you guys are doing to me.
Oh, not again!
Did we lose your audio again? Oh, we lost your audio again.
How long have we been recording?
It's been a total
since we started again.
We started 18 minutes.
All right. Let's stop.
We're going to pause one more time and we're going to figure this out and we'll be right back. Okay, we are back. Technical difficulties be damned. We will get through this. Denise has switched to her phone, so we should be good from here on out. And leave it to crappy laptops to be jerks because they want to try to save battery life. But that's fine. We're here. So Denise laid out her Easter eggs. Q, what Easter eggs did you find? And I keep
one
kicking
of
my camera.
Favorite conspiracy theory stories is the USS Eldridge. I mean, it has absolutely nothing really to do with Marvel. It's an absolute, it's a great little reference about the Philadelphia experiment. Where the military was testing cloaking technology. I can't see that.
Nobody can read it. It's fine. I wrote down the Philadelphia experiment. Yeah.
So, and in this experiment, it is theorized that the ship did disappear and it either time traveled into the 80s. And this was around the time of World War II, just throwing it out. And it came back or it went to another dimension. But when it did return, a good portion of the crew was gone. Some of the crew had been melded with the hull of the ship itself. Some of them were just dead, laying dead on the deck. And then the theory is it was completely buried by the government because it was a failed experiment on such a massive level. Yeah. But it was. But there's also been articles say that it was all made up. And blah blah blah.
Oh, of course,
it doesn't really matter. But it was
it's also a great
reference.
Movie. There's a great movie called Philadelphia Experiment that talks about it. But the other thing is that the other part of that conspiracy is that maybe it didn't teleport because it was believed that the Americans were working on cloaking abilities, but the cloaking went wrong. And so showing that ship not only shows conspiracies because there's another conspiracy theory shown. I'm sure you probably caught that Easter egg. I'll let you get to it. But the Philadelphia Experiment supposedly is what led to S.H.I.E.L.D. being able to come up with cloaking devices for their helicarriers.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Supposedly. So I thought that was a really cool thing. So it did have a Marvel tie-in. But go on, Jason.
The video game. I can't pronounce
that. That was the other one. Polybius.
Polybius is about a video game that was conspiracy theoried to be invented by the government as some sort of mind-controlling video game It was around sometime in the mid 80s or late 80s.
82 to 84, I think, or maybe a little bit later. Maybe in 84 to 86, but yeah.
For 2 years, and all of a sudden, it disappeared. was taken away by the guys in the black suits.
Yep.
And no one ever spoke about it or talked about it. And then some people just started talking about it again as something they had a memory of. And you know, there's all kind of theories as to what it did, whether it was, you know, mind control or mind programming for sleeper agents.
MK Ultra, yeah.
You know, it could have been, yeah. So that was a really cool reference. You know, again, something that has nothing to do with the MCU, but it was cool little for you.
Yeah. That was great. So, yeah, the Plebeius is one of those. Yeah, it was one of those really fun. It's one of those really fun. A lot of people think it's the Mandela effect, where everybody remembers this game, but it never actually existed. Kind of like Shazam with Sinbad. That movie never actually happened, but we all remember Sinbad as a genie playing Shazam. Which I still to this day, I guess, like,
that didn't happen, are they?
What?
They're not saying that didn't happen.
It didn't happen. That movie never happened.
What?
The movie with Sinbad. The movie that came out was called Kazam with Shaquille O'Neal, where he was a genie instead of a boombox. Now, I could have sworn that when that movie came out, there was also Shazam with Sinbad, and I had seen both of those films. However, it's not true. It didn't happen. That movie never existed. It's called a Mandela effect. Nelson Mandela was in prison for 23 years for trying to fight the South African apartheid, but everybody thought he died in the early 90s. And they swore he was dead, and they'd all seen his funeral on TV. And I'm talking worldwide. No, he died in the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
He got out of
prison. He was released. He got out of prison, divorced his wife.
Yeah, everybody thought he had died in the early 90s, and that they all saw his funeral on TV, and he died in prison. No, he was released. He became president of South Africa, and then died after retiring. Yeah. But that's what's called the Mandela effect. It's just like Berenstain Bears. Everybody calls them the Berenstain Bears because the TV show called them that, but it didn't. It always called them Berenstain Bears, and we all thought it was Berenstain. So there's so many things, and one of those is the Shazam one is one that happens a lot. But Plebeius is
the
one
I saw today. Oh yeah, okay.
Plebeius is another one. Well, that people who are trying to deny the conspiracy of the MK Ultra planted video game say that it never happened and it was a Mandela effect.
And I gotta turn my volume up. Y'all.
You're good. It was a nice shot of your ceiling.
Oh, you're welcome.
Cameo from Denise's ceiling. But yeah, that was a great Easter egg. You know, supposedly it was a mind control video game trying to create sleeper cell agents out of kids. And then the Men in Black came and picked it up.
Right. Yeah. That's what you call a glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah.
I also noticed the head of the Living Tribunal.
Yes.
Pretty big. This is probably one of the biggest characters you need to take down in order to create the TVA.
So this is the second time the Living Tribunal has been mentioned. He was mentioned in Doctor Strange. The staff of the Living Tribunal was what Morgan was using to train Doctor Strange.
And everybody was afraid that was going to be the extent of that. Yeah, and there was going to be a character named, you know, the Living Tribunal.
But now that you've mentioned him in a second place in the universe, there's more to the Living Tribunal. Now, this was just obviously a statue of him, but it was a giant statue because that head was massive. Speaking of Doctor Strange, though, did you guys see the Sanctum Sanctorum in Rebel?
Yes. Yes, I do remember seeing that. It was next to the nearby the
initial fly-in through the void.
Yes.
Down in the left-hand corner is a busted-up Sanctum Sanctorum.
Wow.
So there's some timeline where all the Sanctum Sanctorums get wiped out, which means Dormammu gets the takeover. So there's a bad timeline somewhere.
So would that be Caecilius then?
No, because he would have, because as soon as Dormammu took power, he would have wiped out all his minions.
Yeah. He doesn't need him at that point.
So this actually ties into what I sent you guys earlier. I sent you guys the What If trailer.
That was really cool.
Marvel has finally released the first full trailer for What If. This will start August 11th on Wednesday, so we're going to keep our show recording Wednesday nights. There is one of the stories that will be told in this. Now, this is a What If tale. It's like they're multiversal tales. Like, well, what if instead of Peter Quill becoming Star-Lord, Yondu picks up T'Challa from Wakanda, and he becomes Star-Lord?
Can't wait!
What if Peggy Carter takes a Super Soldier Serum instead of Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
But one of the stories is Doctor Strange goes down the path of evil. Like, he goes down the path of the dark dimension.
Yes.
So could that Sanctum Sanctorum be from that reality? Because the key to these multiverses, what if isn't just stories? These are multiversal events that happened that the Watcher saw, but they were kept out of the sacred timeline.
Correct.
So we might actually get answers as to why that Sanctum Sanctorum is there, why that one gets pruned from these what if stories. So that's pretty cool.
I wonder if it's something that Doctor Strange would have saw when he was going through all the different realities then.
Well, in all fairness, that episode does look like it will be Doctor Strange versus Doctor Strange. So it could very well tie into Doctor Strange in a Multiverse of Madness, his sequel.
Cool.
It could be the only one that actually has like legit direct ties to the MCU. Because there's a Marvel Zombies episode too, which I'm super excited about.
Yes.
Let's see what else. So we saw the Avengers Tower.
Yes.
But it wasn't owned by Tony Stark.
Nope.
It was owned by Kang Enterprises, spelled Q-U-E-N-G. Yes. However, Kang Enterprises in the comics was a company that Tony Stark sold his tower to and his company to, and it turns out the person behind it was Kang the Conqueror. So that is something that could be an Easter egg towards Kang as well. However, I have an Easter egg that could be anti-Kang, but we'll get to that in a bit because I want to go very deep into Renslayer. But we had a Dark Aster. Dark Aster is the ship of Ronan the Accuser.
Yeah.
From Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. His ship was there. We saw the Thanos copter we got, Sanctum Sanctorum we got. And of course we got, in a blink and you'll miss it moment, Throg. Thor as a frog in a jar stuck in the ground.
Poor guy.
Yeah, he's going to die. He's trying to get Mjolnir, which is also stuck just above him. The jar says T-365 on it.
Yep,
that is a nod to his first appearance in Thor 365, Volume 1. So we got Throg. Now I'm unfortunately this might be the only time we ever actually see him, but
yeah,
maybe not.
How are you doing with that?
Oh, it's so good. It's sour gummy worms flavor. It's so good.
So I looked up the name of the sword that Kid Loki gives our Loki. I saw one that said Gram, the sword of Sigurd. This was used in Norse mythology to slay a dragon with, and it was a flamed sword.
No, I think it was a longer name than that. It's Loki's actual sword. It's the sword he uses in Norse mythology. It starts with an L, I believe, and it's long. I don't know. Hey, if you know the name of that sword, please put it down in the comments. Let us know. So let's see. So that was a lot. There was a lot of Easter eggs. Like I said, this episode to me was more of an Easter egg dump and a bit of exposition versus a full episode. It felt like filler. This was filler to me. We got to talk about Sylvie and Loki. They're both frost giants, so neither one of them should actually get cold.
Huh. I didn't think about that. That's pretty interesting.
The blanket was all just, how you doing? You know, it was very it was very smooth. Whatever. This relationship is still undefined. I saw some people were like, just have him kiss already. I'm like, but why?
Yeah, it's not necessary.
Why can't it just be a connection above that? It doesn't have to be sexual.
Yeah.
We're just very sexed as a society.
It's just like, it doesn't have to be sexual. Because if that's the case, why didn't him and Mobius make out?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I mean, he flat out, he wouldn't shake his hand. He gave him a hug and teared up a little bit. Why didn't they make out?
Right.
Oh, it's two guys. Shut up.
Yeah.
Homophobic bastards. All right. So I think that relationship, I just don't. But it leads more into my theory of classic Loki, because she was very concerned that Loki might still betray her in the end.
Yeah.
Which is why I think that classic Loki was playing a long game. But it could be Loki Prime. I'm still not convinced, even with some more Easter eggs about Kang. I'm still not convinced it's going to be Kang. How do you shove this guy's origin into the final episode when you're only going to see him for like 20 minutes?
Wait, could they just tease him? And I know it's a little, it's still a bit early.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a name drop or something.
I still want a mid-boss. I still want a mid-boss.
Yeah, like it doesn't need to be the big bad just yet, which I think Kang's going to be the big bad. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm just not there. So the castle that they find, it was hard to find something similar in the comics. Somebody said it was Castle Limbo, which is the castle that Immortus, which is a version of Kang, rules over in Chronopolis. Now, that being said, there was also the House of Ideas. And this is the one that I found closest in the comics to that place. The House of Ideas is the home of the One Above All. Basically, yeah. The person who created everything. Like, he created Celestials. He created everything. Like, so everything, even the Celestials, which created man and Eternals and Deviants, they were created by him. He is the capital G God figure of Marvel. But he doesn't stay in the house. Who does stay in the house is two characters named Now and Then, but they're obscure. They are Loki related because they appeared in their first appearances in a Loki comic, but it's really obscure. But who could be there is, like I said, classic Loki being he who was left behind. So it could just be that the house, because it doesn't, honestly, it, even though I found the closest match being the House of Ideas, it doesn't match exactly. It doesn't match anything in the comics. So it could be a whole new place. Yeah.
I tried like hell to match it up to anything, you know, especially with that lidded beacon.
Yeah, it has a lighthouse on it, and I've not seen that in anything.
No, so I don't know. That something about that particular effect of the castle is important, and I could not for the life of me find anything in the comics that, you know.
So we've not really talked about Sylvie much this episode. Let's go back to her and her interaction with Renslayer. She's got Renslayer pinned. She's trying to get information from her. And then, of course, Renslayer, who has spent the last four episodes talking about how much of a manipulator Loki is, goes full Loki herself and tries to manipulate Sylvie. Makes up this stuff about a void spaceship and tries to make Miss Minutes help delay time until her backup can arrive. And she tries to play that game. Sylvie catches on, but she catches on almost too late.
Yes.
So, Denise, what are your thoughts on how Renslayer has evolved and who she is and what you think of her right now?
She knows a lot more than what's being shown to us. I feel like she's going to play a big part, but then also it could be to where they're only giving her the information that she needs for her job.
That's where I think you're right on. Because remember her conversation with B-15? B-15 flat out calls her out in her BS.
Yes.
She goes, you want to know just as bad as Sylvie does who's behind this.
Yeah.
And you're just mad that she might find out first.
Right. Well,
so it's ego-driven.
Want it, but she needs it, so that's going to be the difference.
Yeah. So Renslayer doesn't know who's the man or person behind the curtain. She's just blindly accepted all this and just like, okay, I get my messages from Miss Minutes. Miss Minutes is obviously going to play a big part. Her programming is the direct link between whoever's behind the curtain and the TVA. Right. So I don't necessarily think – some people have said that it could be Miss Minutes could actually be the one pulling the strings. And we have seen from the last two series, WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, now Captain America Winter Soldier, that there's no hidden person. In WandaVision, it was Agatha all along.
Mm-hmm.
There's even a song. It was Agatha All Along.
Agatha All Along.
Which is a really cute song, and Catherine Hahn is the greatest.
So much fun.
In Captain America and the Winter Soldier, Sharon Carter's the power broker, which I'm still pissed about, by the way.
Yeah, what the hell?
That was a terrible twist.
I was
talk
like,
about ruining a character, man.
Really?
So she's.
I thought it was a bluff. I was like, yeah. Nah,
goes into hiding. Okay, let's get into this because I'm pissed. She goes into hiding, right? She goes into hiding so much so that even Captain America himself and everybody else thinks she got snapped away. She didn't. Yeah. She was hiding.
That was during the events of Civil War.
After Civil War, she goes into hiding. Infinity War happens. In Endgame, she's on the rotating list of people who got snapped. but she never got snapped. She was so good at hiding. She was so good at being a spy that she stayed hidden from even Captain America and everybody else. And she took control of Madripoor during this 5-year absence and became the power broker because she was pissed that she didn't get a pardon. You were in hiding, bitch. What the hell? Like, you were in hiding. You were hiding so good that even Captain America couldn't find you. Then you're mad that Captain America didn't get you a pardon when he thought you were effing dead. And then even after everybody came back, he still couldn't find you. How's he supposed to get you a pardon?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought it was just a double, you know, a double agent kind of thing.
Yeah, I know. Her becoming the power broker is stupid for her character. I hate it. It's dumb. Whatever.
I thought it was going to be the other lady. I forgot her name from
the Contessa.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, yeah, that would be perfect. But,
yeah.
I mean, that would make sense.
That would make sense.
Now, they are, I do believe, because Contessa is going to be in Black Widow, which is out today. Yeah. In America, came out yesterday in London. When this is all over, I'm going to go try and go see it. If I can't make it in time, I will go to the very first showing in the morning. And we will talk some about it next week on Wednesday. But she's supposed to have appeared in that. Like, she's appearing in that. And the thing was, is that the reveal in Falcon and the Winter Soldier was supposed to be a Easter egg to Black Widow, which was supposed to come out first. Everything, it was supposed to be Black Widow before these TV shows. So it did get screwed up a little bit, but she'll be playing a big part in that. Supposedly, she's recruiting her own form of Dark Avengers / Thunderbolts, her own team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Sylvie survives this, and this Loki survives this, and we have a multiverse where they're allowed to come back, could one of them end up on that team? Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe, because that would be really hard to control. It's one thing to control John Walker. It's one thing to control even a metahuman, but it's a whole other thing to try to control, you know, the God of Mischief.
I don't think that they're really, like, team people.
Well, I think that's, I actually honestly think that's what's coming out of this, is that Loki's learning to trust others.
And so that would be, like, leading into the Young Avengers, right?
Possibly, because we got Kid Loki.
Got Kid Loki, and there has been some teasings of other members.
We have America Chavez coming in Doctor Strange,
right?
Two, we have Kate Bishop coming in the Hawkeye series. We have Miss Marvel coming.
Yes.
We have Ant-Man's daughter Cassie Lang, and then if with Kang the Conqueror coming in Quantumania, even if he doesn't show up in this series. The young version of himself is Iron Lad.
Yeah.
So there you go. We have pretty much the whole team there. And plus you have the Wanda's kids.
Yes.
You have Wiccan and Speedy?
Speedy.
Yeah. So the Young Avengers are coming. We're getting them. There's no reason to bring all these characters in and not do the Young Avengers. So we will get that. What else did I want to talk about?
Dang. Are the birds with dot heads of any relevance at all?
I don't know. They were weird. They were like,
I want them.
They were,
I
like
want them in my reality.
They were like peacocks with their heads cut off, but then they were like those weird like lamps you get where the ball's floating and like
the lava.
Yeah,
but no, it's like those ones where it looks like it's levitating the ball. So you like a magnetic thing where the ball's levitating, but there's like there's no strings. Look, ooh. And that was their head. I don't know what they were.
Time. They kept showing them. So I'm like,
a lot.
Yeah.
When Sylvie gets pruned, she ends up in that bus in their nest. And those birds were shown in almost every scene of the void. So what the hell?
I don't know. Has anybody said anything about
that? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
They're just a race of animal. That
watch him be a Rick. Watch him be a Rick and Morty Easter egg. Watch him be something from Rick and Morty that we've never seen. Because like I said, the writers from Rick and Morty. So who knows?
Oh, so that's where he could find branches. Kid Loki had a device. I was wondering where that device came from.
Yeah, they had a device where they could tell something was about to arrive into the void.
Yeah, it read like energy surges, similar to like stuff that happened on Sakaar.
Yeah.
In Thor Ragnarok.
Just wondering where that came about.
Yeah, they don't really talk about that at all.
No.
It's That's what I'm saying. Like there was so like there was so much in this episode that wasn't necessary to the story, and yet, yeah, I don't know.
All right. So my other question is actually this is my last question that I wrote down. If they're pruned more people, where are they? Did Eliath just eat them all?
Yeah, Eliath just eats them. Like yes. like the Philadelphia experiment ship got eaten immediately.
Yeah.
So, and I slowed that down. Like their bodies did turn into skeletons.
Yeah, they're dead.
They're dead. Yeah.
But that's the other part of it. That's part of my Loki theory, because Loki didn't turn into a skeleton.
He just wasn't.
He just
there.
Disappeared. It was very Obi-Wan Kenobi, like strike me down and I'm stronger than ever. So like yeah. when he got struck down, he was just gone and his clothes fell. But for me, it felt more like how the projections every time he Eliath bit into a projection, it disappeared.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. could like again, if you bring in Richard E. Grant, you can't waste him on just one episode. It seems like a waste.
I don't know.
And they had such a character arc. Like he had a full character arc this episode. You got a full backstory. People were like, "You're sympathetic." I even wrote down, "Classic Loki is a badass."
Yes, he is.
Sucks he died. That was the first thing I wrote down. But then my brain went, "Wait a minute, did he die?" So like right. I know my theory is crazy and it's probably not right, but it really makes sense.
If it did, it would take away from his glorious purpose moment.
But could his glorious purpose actually be tricking everybody and still being in charge?
Oh yeah, I'm not disputing that. It's just like you're taking that emotional moment away from the audience. That's a hard thing to swallow.
Yeah.
Well, so is Sharon Carter being the power broker, but Marvel said, "F you, here you go." So did Mephisto never showing up in WandaVision, but they said, "F you, here you go." And also, Wanda's the villain of that show, but we'll not get into that.
Hey, I mean, she's a villain most of the time in the comics, right?
Yeah.
Half the time.
She started as one.
There you go.
Then she was the House of M story. She was the villain. But, I can understand where people might get a little upset, but it'd be one of those, like, oh my god moments. Like, how did we not see this from a Loki? Of course this Loki would betray them. Of course it would all be a trick. How did we not
see Loki?
This Loki had this huge character arc even faster than series Loki. He had it in 20 minutes. He had a full character arc. Where he suddenly realized, we can be good, da, da, da. Like he's like, he seemed all depressed and this and that. That to me doesn't scream Loki. All that being a ruse and him actually being the guy behind it all, that screams Loki to me. And I'm all for Loki becoming a hero in the MCU because he did become a fan favorite so well. But to have still an evil Loki that could be fought and wiped out, like I wouldn't expect him to live past this next episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm all for it. Like, I'm not, I just don't think Kang is the way to go.
Well, I think you're right. Like, I don't know how they would squeeze in that type of person in the very last episode. So, we'll see. Maybe it's going to be another FU, like you said, not bringing in the other people from the other shows that you wanted to see.
Exactly. So far, it's been that way. So, Marvel's like, we're doing things our way. So.
It might just be to where they leave it for a movie and explain it in a movie, because it seems like a lot of things are tying together that way.
Well, we know that Captain America and Winter Soldier are getting a movie. Captain America 4 will be based around Sam Wilson and Bucky. So we're getting that. So Loki could come back in something. So who knows? I know that we're getting a Loki season 2, so they could explain more there as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we talked about it before on when Vagabondage was here. But yeah, he's getting a season 2. So
Cool.
So that's one thing. I do expect this to not get wrapped up. I do expect this to be left wide open by the end of next episode. Okay. So as we draw this our episode to a close, let's talk about kind of what we expect from episode 6 and what we expect from the MCU. So Q, I'll let you go first.
Well, okay. So I had a wild idea about who the castle belongs to. And it is, disclaimer, this is pretty wild. With the idea that the Fantastic Four are going to be introduced here pretty soon, I thought maybe it could be Dr. Doom. And I know that's a stretch, because you're thinking, you know, the only real tie he has to space is that what he was portrayed, that his he got his burns or he got his powers from the from space in the movie, which is not correct, not from what
exactly. Yeah, it's not right.
So, but okay, the reason I brought that up is, okay, first of all, he's a genius. He's like Lex Luthor if he had his own country with all the monies behind it, and he had diplomatic immunity and he practiced magic.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like the level of Dr. Doom: intellect, fighting skills, sorcery. One of his powers is, in fact, interdimensional travel. Mm-hmm. So that is feasible for him to bring at least his castle. Because when you look at the castle, you don't see really anything else. That's why I kind of washed the idea that it could have been the Chronopolis.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really see anything else, any other buildings around it, because it is a whole city. I know his castle is amongst Latveria, and it is standing alone in what we saw. But, you know, maybe it was enchanted and it is by itself just sitting outside of time. Also, about his magic, Dr. Doom managed to come in second in a magic tournament hosted by an ancient sorcerer called the Age Genghis. And Dr. Strange once relinquished the Sorcerer Supreme title, admitting that Doom wielded enough magical power and abilities to be the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is tie-ins here, you know, there, and he is powerful enough. But again, a stretch.
Well, I mean, the difference here, too, is that, like Denise said, she has no idea who Kang the Conqueror is, but she knows who Dr. Doom is.
Well, I only know because of Universal Studios.
But yeah, but you still, the character, he's well enough known that if you drop him in, it makes more sense.
Yes.
All right, Denise, your thoughts. What are you expecting for the next episode?
I would like to know where the heck Kablooey, why do they keep showing that pack of gum?
because that's a future. Because that's a future gum. That gum is from 2023 or 2033.
So I guarantee you, Disney's going to sell Kablooey gum.
Oh, it's probably already at Avengers Campus. Okay, it's probably already there. I'm sure it is. If it's not there, it will be soon.
Pee-wee Herman, like where it makes ink come out of your mouth, or like.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that at Avengers Campus out in Disneyland, California, they've already added a President Loki meet and greet. They've added a Time Variant Loki meet and greet. So they've, like, their update, unlike Universal, that can't update at all. Disney in California that has Avengers Campus, they're updating that thing daily. So they're ready to go. So, I mean, we could get Kablooey gum at Avengers Campus.
Nice.
I had that theory. Like I said, I still think it's a Loki variant in charge, but there could be a Renslayer variant in charge too. Because in the comics, Renslayer did at one point get powers, and she became Renslayer Terrax, I believe is her name. Oh. So there could be another Renslayer, which is why, you know, Judge Renslayer is the one they want in charge, whatever. So who knows? Obviously we're gonna find out next episode who's in charge. Whether it actually, like I said, they're getting a season 2, so it's probably not going to wrap everything up. There still will be cliffhangers.
That's cool.
I still am leaning towards Sylvie maybe sacrificing herself.
Well,
although we kind of sort of got that with her pruning herself this episode.
Yeah.
Not 100% sure where it goes. Because the void could have been a lie. Everything could have been a lie that Renslayer said. So,
right.
So she did that based on, like, well, either I'm dead or I'm going to find him. So,
right.
She has it in herself to do that. She also has no idea what she's going to do. She said that. I have no idea what I'm going to do when this is all done. And that was similar. Like, that was kind of like Thanos, who, like, once he did his snap, he's like, well, I'm just going to retire. Because, like, my goal is done. And that happens a lot in movies. We're just like, revenge movies. It's like, well, what are you going to do when this is all said and done? It's like, I honestly have no idea.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. Like we said, we've got Black Widow coming out. Denise, you do your perfectly ethical and legal way of watching it.
Me too.
And Q and I will go to the theaters. And we will talk about that some next week with Dimitri as well, because Dimitri from The King Show is joining us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you guys tune in for that. Like I said, please like, share, subscribe. hit that notification bell so you know when we're coming on. Comment down below your theories, your thoughts, maybe some Easter eggs we didn't catch, because there were tons of Easter eggs. And let us know what you thought. Of course, I'm Superbeard Vince Hoover. You can catch me over on TikTok at Superbeard. Q and Denise, thank you so much once again. We may have started a little bit late, but we had the best reasons why. Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup once again. Back-to-back years. Go Bolts. That was awesome. Great game. So, yeah. So we'll get this up, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, y'all.
See ya.